Backseat Box Office, episode number 89, for the weekend of June 1st through the 3rd, 2012. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
And this is Jonathan.
And we are the Backseat Producers. And you are listening to Backseat Box Office. And I'm already one beer in.
I'm a half beer in.
I'm two or three shots of Bailey's in.
Yeah, I think Jonathan's already winning.
Jonathan is like chugging that thing.
Oh, it's not that bad. It was only up to like there.
He's going to start holding up walls again here in a minute.
The beautiful thing about Google Hangouts, I can almost see his cheeks getting pinker as we talk. As that alcohol starts to kick in, it starts to get a little redder.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So, big news. This is quite possibly our last Ustream broadcast.
Quite possibly. In fact, is?
Most likely, yes. Because I think we're going to go to dedicated Google Hangout. One of the reasons is that they record them when we broadcast them, and they publish it to YouTube, so people can actually watch them later. It's kind of cool. We have the BSP video from recording the Avengers, which still hasn't released. That actually comes out this coming Monday. But, yeah, we're trying it out. And I'm being that guy and actually letting them put ads on it. And if you jackholes click through them, then maybe we'll get a dollar or two. I'm not counting on anything at this point.
Do you have to... Now, as far as that goes, I thought you had to reach a certain, like, number of views before you got any money.
I don't know what those views are. We obviously have not reached it for Backseat Producers. Then again, that was kind of our pilot. The way I look at it, we're going to test it out. We're going to see what happens, test the waters. And, you know, if this becomes a regular thing, we might pick up more viewers than listeners. Mm-hmm. We have actually had a couple of people subscribe to the channel already.
Wow.
Yeah. Now they're already listeners through the podcast, but they're also now viewers, and so they get notifications when we start recording, and that may just spread, you know, as people share videos and whatnot.
I thought it might just be from Sam's animal magnetism on the camera.
That could be it. Even though he was only on it for just a couple minutes before his connection cut out.
Which was a shame.
It was. It's always good to see the moose.
Moose. I don't know. I see a lot of the moose. So
for the rest of us who are not who are moose poor, it was nice to see the moose. You are moose sometimes, rich.
Yeah, sometimes seeing the moose is like seeing him on the road. Not able to stop in time. Long spindly legs means he's going to run right into your face.
Yeah.
So we're here. We just finished up season three. Season three is in the books.
No, it's season two. It was season two. We figured it out.
Did we?
Yeah, because what happened was we didn't count that first grouping of episodes.
As anything.
That was
the percentage year, the percentage.
So yeah. We didn't start until January of 2011 then?
I think that's when we started. Yes.
Okay. Right. So we just finished up season two.
Yes, we did just finish season two.
It's in the books. Ignore, if you listen to last week's episode, ignore all that crazy talks about seasons three or four. Woo!
Yeah.
Instead, we're finishing up two. We're going to recap it tonight. You know, William's got an excellent show out. Also going into probably more detail than what we're going to do, and we're going to start into season three. And there's got to be some changes.
There are. One huge change.
Huge.
We're losing a host.
Oh, my God, Jonathan, what's wrong?
I'll just miss you so much.
We're not losing him so much as he is taking a break.
Yes. Yes. I kind of stopped for a little while, and then I got sucked back in by my deep and abiding love for hanging out with these guys. I know it's odd.
It's kind of crazy.
But it's just a little too crazy around here with the boy child and all of his things. So I'm stepping down for I want to say good, but maybe not good, but for quite some time I'll be gone. So these two guys are looking for a new host to fill out the third.
We are, and it may not be a permanent host. It may be a couple of hosts. It could be like the reserve Avengers, you know. We've got Cap and Thor sticking around. Iron Man's bailing. So
wait, what I hear is you can be the Dark Hawk of Backseat Box Office, or the Rage of Backseat Box. I mean, who wouldn't? Come on,
the Mockingbird.
Hey, no, she's full-time. Are you kidding me? She's a founding member of the West Coast. Holla.
That's West Coast. Who pays
attention to that? I grew up, I owned every app. I still do own every issue of West Coast.
Oh, congratulations, you had Wonder Man.
Oh, God. That guy was such a whiny little piss, and he still is. It's brutal. But we also had War Machine, we had Iron Man, we had The Shroud, we had Moon Knight, we had Firebird, we had Tiger, we had Hawkeye. We had... should I stop? Sorry, no, I can keep going.
No, that's... Keep going. See how far you can get.
I left my third train of thought. Hold on. Well, Vision, Scarlet Witch, Hellstrom, Hellcat, that's all I got off the top, man. All
right. That's good enough. Either way, we are...
Agnetha Harkness.
Oh, my God.
She actually showed up for a 3-issue run, but go on.
Yeah. So we've got a couple of folks who you will be hearing their voices over the coming weeks. We're not sure, you know, if we're going to have more than three, if we're just going to mix it up and say, you know, whoever can show up, we'll squeeze you in. We haven't worked out all the details just yet because I am insanely busy. But we will continue on with Backseat Box Office, even if it's just going back to one of us recording really lame 10-minute long episodes. Where I just stumble through talking about the movies that are coming out. I don't think we're gonna go that far.
I will make an attempt to not leave you hanging in the wind like that.
For at least 12 weeks. Well,
yeah, I am trying to buy a house, so I can't make any guarantees.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, honestly, all three of us are kind of crazy busy at the moment, with various things going on in our lives. But yeah, I just want to take a minute and thank Tony and Jonathan for keeping me on for the last 80-some episodes and giving a young boy a chance at his dream.
Yeah, it's been a blast, and we know we will still get to party with you at Sausage Fest, so that's not changing.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. Oh, no. Well, I'll be at Sausage Fest. Don't worry about that. And I'll still be listening. I'm planning on still competing, but just as a listener. So I'll be posting or tweeting pics at you guys.
Very good.
Whatnot. So I'm still going to be around, but I just won't be recording.
That's all right. So let's go ahead and let's move on from this sour topic. It's not the beer, because the beer is actually really good. I talked to the guys about this a little bit off the mics, but we have started up playing this Marvel Heroic role-playing game. This is big fun. If you guys haven't had the opportunity, I recommend trying it out. It is a good game.
Hmm. Yeah, I've read through the rules. I unfortunately haven't had a chance to actually play a session yet, but... I love the rule set. Cam Banks over there at Margaret Weiss has really actually given them good games. The last three games he's put out through there have been all good in their own way. They have distinctive mechanics that actually fulfill the intent of the game, which is much better than the first generation of Margaret Weiss games, which were all just the exact same thing with different intellectual property slapped on the cover.
Right, right. And it's easy to do that. I mean, TSR kind of did that with Dungeons & Dragons and Gamma World, you know.
That's true.
And there's good and bad to that. If you've learned the mechanics, you know the mechanics. But this, I think it takes a very interesting approach to how to play supers, and they do it in such a way that you can have your street level guys, you know, going toe to toe with gods, and having good fun out of it, not just being, you know, the god steps on the guy and the fight's over. I mean, by all intents, I was probably the weakest powered character going into the big combat we had the other night, and I was the one that took out 5 of the 7 guys we went against. So, yeah, it's just a matter of how you play and what you do, and it's a lot of fun. We're having a good time with it. There may be some stuff that gets released over at the podcast based on this, because those are the guys that I'm playing with.
Well, one of the things that got me dragged in early was their Kingdom of the Generation, their first actual play, and yeah. I keep waiting for something to equal it, and I hate to say it, they've never equaled that yet at this point. Maybe because the campaign seemed to die, or they stopped. I don't know, but yeah, Kingdom of the Generation, I still recommend people to go listen.
Yeah, we have a set schedule for this and a set length, and it's only our gaming for this is only going to last through the month. But we're committed to it through this month. We may continue on after that. It just kind of depends on how everybody's schedules roll out. But we're talking about either releasing some of the actual play, which we did record, or doing some recaps, just kind of depending on what our schedules allow.
Well, I don't think I've talked about it here with you guys, but at Fear the Con a couple weeks ago, you know, I tried Fiasco for the first time, and I tried Dogs in the Vineyard for the first time, and holy shit, those games are good. I mean, I don't know if you guys are familiar from Fiasco. Basically, it's a Coen Brothers recreator in different, you know, play sets and styles and ages.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I mean, you need a good group, obviously, that can kind of roll that type of narrative-heavy game, but it was great. And then Dogs of the Vineyard was run by Michael Matthews, and it was the last thing I played, and it was just I just peaked. I climaxed on that. On that game.
how does Dogs work with like, I know Fiasco requires a bunch of people that really can commit to the narrative. How is Dogs the same kind of thing?
So my Dogs experience may not be the norm. We had a fairly large group, and Michael kind of taught us there's more of a die mechanic to Dogs that we played out, and we played through kind of our creation. There's a little thing you do, each character does, right? But at the end of character creation that you run through, it's kind of one conflict they do on their own. Mm-hmm. But we did not use it once during the rest of the game. We just rolled with narrative and role-playing for the rest of it. And Michael Matthews, who ever played, was a very theatrical GM, which is awesome. And so we didn't pick up the dice again. So I think it is more dice-heavy. But the way we played, at least, it was very much narrative driven again.
Hmm. I tried playing 3:16 with 3:16 Carnage Amongst the Stars with a new group I put together, and it was kind of hit or miss. And so we decided just to play Descent, which basically removes all narrative ever.
No, they just done a dungeon crawl.
Yeah, it's like what 4E wants to be.
I gotta be honest, you know, D&D puts out these games like Wrath of the Shardalon, Castle Ravenloft, the big boxy board games. They have the Underdark one with Dritz, but honestly, that's almost as much fun as playing 4E, because it takes all the good rules from 4E, and you don't have to worry about all the narrative stuff, which I don't think 4E does a good job supporting or promoting. So, and most people I know who play D&D don't really care about that part anyway.
That's why we ended up playing Descent. It was like, why bother learning how to play D&D when this comes with figures, maps, stuff? It's all taken care of for me. I don't have to prep, which is what I like about It's just half of what I like about narrative games. They don't have to narrate, which is the one bit they don't like about narrative games. Hey, bonus.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about understanding what each person wants out of the game and finding something that works, which is the great thing about Fear the Con, is that I can get together a completely different group of people who want completely different things out of the games than my home group does, which is a nice change.
Yep.
So, I guess we should perhaps talk about movies for a minute. It's kind of sad to think this will be the last time I prompt us into actually talking about what we're here to talk about.
The last time... These shows are going to last forever now.
Yeah, it's terrifying because there won't be anybody here that says, so we should move on.
So Men in Black 3 this weekend did take the number one spot. It did eclipse Marvel's The Avengers. The Avengers fell to $36.6 million, dropped to third, basically. Battleship dropped to number 3 with $11 million. The Dictator fell to number 4 with $9.2 million. The Chernobyl Diaries open at number 5 with $7.9 million. And I believe several of us picked the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel in number 5. It was actually number 8 with $6.3 million as it went wide, as they say.
But it did not go deep.
It wasn't girthy at all. No girth there.
There was probably all kinds of girth, but no length. No deep funny story.
I was under the impression girth was the more important stat.
Well, so. Lena, let's talk. Is girth more important than length? Hold on. We have a primary source we can consult here. Hold on. Okay, as we wait for the answer. Well, she says they're both equally important. So that's interesting to know, but not helpful for this discussion we're having. So, funny story, I was talking to my wife about the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. I showed her a trailer, now she wants to go see it.
Clearly, you should have taken her to see that this weekend instead of the plethora of movies you saw instead, just to raise the box office count on it.
I mentioned last week I was going to have a little time to see some movies, and boy, howdy, did I. I saw Men in Black 3 with Uriah on Saturday, saw The Avengers for the second time with my wife on Monday, and then tonight, right before this, we went to sell. It was between the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel and Bully at the local Heart House Cinema. And thankfully, we went and saw Bully, which I got to be honest, if it's a great documentary. If you see it somewhere, see it on video. It's a great one to check out.
Is it good? I was wondering. I'd heard all this hype from people talking about it, but they're like, oh, it's so important and so. So meaningful, and I just kept getting the impression these people had no clue because I wondered how they could have seen the movie.
So, I mean, it's been out for a while. It was at the True False Film Festival here in Columbia a while ago, and then it's been in art house theater for the last 4 weeks or so. But
I mean, these people were talking about it months ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll say this for
well,
being
it was making the festival circuit, you know.
It was making the news circuit because the F-bomb.
Well, that too.
There was that too, sure.
No marketing, no whatever. Move on.
So, you know,
almost gone, so forgive me.
It went from up there to down there. Great audio. You know, as the parent of a child, yeah, I think it's totally worth watching. And it's hard for me to know what a single person or someone who doesn't have kids or a young person might think of it. But as the father of a young child, I think it's a really good movie to go see.
Well, then clearly you weren't bullied in school.
I actually was bullied in school.
So how does that translate to your experience then, being someone who was bullied?
Well, so I. It's a degree of severity, right? So the stuff they're showing in the movie is degrees of severity well above what I got bullied as. But I do remember like riding the bus in elementary school and getting picked on some and yada, yada, yada. But it was nothing close to what they're showing kids going through in this movie. So I mean, it didn't really have any personal impact to me. I wasn't saying they're thinking about relating it to my life, but I was very much thinking about, you know, is my son going to grow up to be a bully? Is he going to grow up to be bullied? What can I do now to help get him in the middle between those two extremes and not bully people and not be bullied to be able to stand up for himself without getting in trouble. And I have no idea.
Yeah, I see. I think my bigger fear is not that Holden will be bullied, but that he would be the bully. And actually,
honestly,
looking at my children, I'm actually more concerned about Erin. She's going to be a bully. It's not even a fear. It's just dreading the day because it's coming.
And so they do a lot with like schools because you know a lot of this happens either at school or on the bus to and from school and. That's probably for a deeper discussion for a different time. If you Backseat Producers ever does Bully, have me on because I would love to spend an hour and a half talking about this movie.
All right. So you may still be around. We have not heard the last
to talk. To talk about this movie, I will make time because I think it is a fairly important thing to talk about.
You come out of retirement.
Come out of retirement to solve this social ill. So I think I actually did best of the three of us this past weekend.
That is probably true because I did pretty crappy.
Fair enough.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks.
For those who don't...
I was counting on you to help us catch up, help me catch up to Andrew, and then that failed.
That was your
For those of you who don't recall, Jonathan did ditto Tony last weekend. A blind ditto, I might add.
Hey, my logic was sound.
It was sound.
Guaranteed that I wouldn't catch you. I just
didn't be honest.
Tony was going to fail that.
So, you know, I had Men in Black 3 at number 1. That was right. I had Avengers at number 2. That was right. I had Battleship at number 3. That was right. I put Chernobyl Diaries at number 4. That was one off, so that cost me a point. I put Best Marigold Hotel at number 5. Actually, number 8, there's another 3 points gone for a total of 4 off my 25, leaving me with a 21. But that was a couple points better than Jonathan and or Tony. I don't know who's going to talk about it. Go!
Because I don't even know what we picked.
I'll talk about it. But I don't remember what everything else did, and I don't have that up in front of me. I can say that we picked Men in Black 3 at number 1 and the Avengers at number 2. And those were correct. Then we picked Chernobyl Diaries at number 3.
Ouch.
Seemed like a good idea at the time. It came in number 5. We picked Battleship at number 4. It actually came in 3rd. And we picked the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel in 5th. And it came in, 8th?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was rough.
That was rough. That left you guys with a 19.
Those picks were our girlfriend turning into the moon.
I'm sorry.
That's rough.
That's buddy. Rough. That's rough, buddy.
That's wizard's chess.
So, for our season finale, Tim of Funny Books with Aaron and Polly over at ideologymadness.com, he won the season with 21.9 points.
That's not even the most interesting part.
To you, what is the most interesting part?
Look at the next score down.
Yeah, so and I don't know how that goes out in decimal points. I can tell from the leaderboard, BD was 1/100th of a point behind, but I'm not sure how that actually came out if I looked at the full number. Was it even closer?
I'm trying to find those the stats right now, and that I looked at the wrong page.
21.9 versus 21.8189189189.
Yeah, so it was actually slightly closer than 1/100th of a point.
It's about
about
it was 9. It was almost 8/1000th of a point. That's how close it was. Interestingly, there was a 1 point. Spread, less than a 1 point spread between first place and 9th place.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is brutally close. So congratulations to Tim, season 2 victor. Your prize will be in the mail.
10 weeks. Yeah,
but that's like 38 points between, so I don't know.
Right. Well, anyway. Yeah, it actually is. It is actually. It's actually closer to.
The average score is only 0.008 of a point apart. Yeah.
I do think 1 through 5, though, half a point, 0.4 point. That's pretty.
That is. So our top five was Tim at 1, BD at 2, Scott at 3, Cougron at 4, and then Lena at 5.
Scott and Cougron Scott tied. And
Cougron are tied.
Oh, sorry. They're, I was just reading an order.
Dead on tie for third.
And then Lena, intern Lena, at 5.
Yep.
So let's go scroll down the screen a little bit. We'll figure out where we came in.
007, bitches.
Tony holds on to his 007 spot with 21.19.
I have held on to 7th place. With the exception of like a week, for like the last 10 or 15 weeks, it's crazy how long I've been in 7th.
I somehow managed to stay in the top 10 at number 10 with my 20.5, which brings us to Jonathan.
Yeah, just, well, let's be honest, I wasn't just edged out.
Really, you made a poor choice trusting Tony in the final week.
Yeah, I should have picked anybody else.
Yeah, to be fair, even if you got a 25, you still wouldn't have beat Andrew.
I should have allied with Uriah sooner,
or Tim. You could have just gone with Tim too. That was a pretty decent bet as well, since he's at the top.
Now, Tim scored the same as you did, so.
Yeah, but I mean, this is before, not knowing how everybody's going to do. I was just calling in.
This week, I should have just picked a random listener. It should have been Uriah.
So
Uriah is pretty awesome.
So I just ran some numbers. The way that Jonathan could have tied Andrew this week is he would have had to beat Andrew this week by 10 points. If he would have had more than that, he would have actually taken 10th place from Andrew.
That was entirely possible if, say, we picked Marigold Hotel
in first place.
Four.
No. If Andrew would have picked it number 1.
Yeah, but that makes it too easy. You just move things around a little bit. 10 points isn't that hard.
I'm saying the real issue this weekend was that there was nothing coming out by Relativity and Media. Because if there had been anything from Relativity Films, I would have just sucked it.
That was the problem.
Yeah. There's no Take Me Home Night, no Season of the Witch.
Damn it, Relativity.
You put movies out constantly. Why not one this weekend? What's wrong with you?
We're going to have to have you like record something special every time a Relativity movie comes out.
We need you to send in a voicemail every week there's a Relativity pick.
I could do that. I could probably actually. I'd probably take the effort of setting up my mic and actually Dropbox it in, so that it's nice, crisp audio for you guys. But yeah, that's that. That would be funny. We could call it Andrew's Relativity Corner.
That would be hilarious. That
would AKA. Be fuck you! Fuck you! That may not come through as well to our listeners, but trust me, it was hysterical.
I'd bang my head on the desk, but one of you might rage quit.
So, for those who
even funny on other podcasts.
To me, anyway. For those of you who might have thought it odd for me to say I was going to rage quit if Battleship beat the Avengers, we knew about this a couple weeks ago.
We were kind of actually hoping, so we have a really good stunt.
We were really hoping for a really good story and some big drama, but no, Avengers held out, which was also good, but it would have been hysterical had I been able to play that role.
What we should have done is we should have looked ahead just a little bit and seen that Men in Black clearly was going to take the lead this week, and then you could have made this grand gesture a couple of weeks ago and saying, I will no longer be part of this podcast when the Avengers falls from first place.
Oh, if only we could fix that in post.
We can, actually.
No, it's too... We're going back a couple weeks. The moment has passed. I just wish we'd thought about it a while ago.
That's true.
So, as Tony goes back to his old favorite, Uzo, his secret lover...
Tony's going to catch up to me.
Mistress, sweet, lover, sweet secret mother. We only have one movie I feel like we need to talk about coming out this weekend.
Yeah, really.
And that's Snow White and the Huntsman from Universal, opening in 3,700 theaters.
Oh, dear there's God. Some. I so want to like this movie.
So
every ounce of my loin wants to be engorged over this film, yet stupid face is in it.
Which, you gotta remind me, which stupid face this time?
Kristen Stewart.
Oh, the mouth breather.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I'm used to you calling her the mouth breather versus...
Yeah, she is the mouth breather, but she does have kind of a stupid face.
Maybe a touch unkind. But, so she's playing Snow White.
Yep. And Thor is playing the Huntsman.
The Woodsman, the Huntsman, right. Chris Hemsworth is playing the Woodsman. And I'm trying to scroll down. Isn't Charlize Theron playing...
Yep, Charlize Theron's playing the Queen. Or the... Yeah, the Queen, I guess.
Now, I have friends who are stupid excited about this movie, but I am not engorged about it.
I would be stupid excited about this movie if they would have had a better, less stupid-faced actress in the role of Snow White.
Maybe this is the role that proves that Kristen Stewart isn't totally worthless.
Maybe, except every commercial she's making the same face. It's the same face that I have a problem with.
But, I mean, she's only got one face.
I know.
But...
Literally, one face.
It's Thor and Charlie. I mean, the movie isn't... All right, so...
The face she makes, it's like she farted and can't tell who did it.
Maybe this is her Water for Elephants. Maybe this is where she breaks away from the Twilight mold.
Maybe.
Maybe not, but I'm throwing it out there. Well, I'm trying to throw you a bone, Tony.
She's definitely breaking free from the Bella-type character. Because this Snow White character looks like she's a whole lot more proactive than Bella ever is.
Yes.
So I have to give her that the character is definitely a departure from what she's known as at this point.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, but
I think she'd star in a 50 Shades of Grey movie.
I don't know, but you know what? So, you know,
you think they could get an R rating on a 50 Shades of Grey movie?
Uh-huh.
All right, so there was the Saturday Night Live bit, which I'm going to assume we've all seen at this point.
No, but go on.
All right, so there's a Saturday Night Live skit that they did just before Mother's Day, a couple weeks before Mother's Day. If you look up like 50 Shades of Grey SNL, it's worth seeing. It's basically an Amazon, like one of their funny commercials, but it's supposed to be for Amazon. And it shows like dad or the husband walking in on the wife while she's obviously self-pleasuring herself while reading 50 Shades of Grey. And it's like different women in different scenarios. Like, at one point, there's one that's taking a bath, but she is like butted all the way up under the flow of the faucet. I mean, it's just, it is ridiculously obvious what's going on, and it's hilarious. So, I knew about this book basically that it was. Twilight fanfic where they basically replace the character names, and it's got like all this BDSM overtones to all of it. So for Mother's Day, I got Julie a copy of it for her Nook. So, you know, I'd heard about it, and I was just curious because like somebody posted like the first chapter of it or something. I skimmed it. It was like, man, this writing is terrible. So I start actually skimming the book. At one point, swear to God, there are multiple pages of a fully drawn out master-slave contract between the two lead characters. And this goes on for pages. It's not like excerpts or anything. This is like the full contract. So I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting. So I keep going. Then I get to like the first part where he actually like spanks her. Swear to God, the spanking went on for 5 or 6 pages. Then they get into the sex. 2 paragraphs, if that. And all euphemism. Then, in all the conversations that she's having with people or talking about stuff, the lead character... Oh, it's all written in first person. The lead character is just foul-mouthed. Holy shit, F this, F that, holy F. I mean, just... Somebody says something to her in her head, she says the swear words. But when it comes to actual sex scenes, all euphemism. This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So, yeah. It's very, very strange.
Wow. Yeah, that I can't say I've read it, but I'll take your word.
I can't say that I've read it. I
bet you skimmed
it.
That
was about 10 minutes of me skimming it.
Yeah.
That sounds like 10 minutes better spent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we also have a small film called, crikey, I closed that tab on my computer and I'm clicking it.
For greater glory.
Thank you. Foreign film in 700 plus theaters. I have no idea what it's about. And I suggest we,
let's just ignore it.
I would move. Yes, I would move. I'd make a motion that we don't talk about it. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Okay. The motion passes. I guess I did best, so I guess I have to pick first.
Yep.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, I have not written anything down. I'm just going to do this cold, so...
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Are you sure you want to pick here and not in the comments later because that's what you're doing?
Oh, that's true. That,
you did best, but the season is over. We've reset.
He could kick off season 3, though.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I'll do one last one. Yeah, I'll do one last one to kick off season 3. And
really
then,
is no best any longer because the season's over. So, you know, your score from last week doesn't matter.
No. That's all right. I'll give one last one.
Kick it off.
So, hey, is Snow White and the Huntsman from Relativity?
It looks like it.
So, you know, Men in Black 3 opened at $54 million.
It smells like a Relativity movie.
It quacks like a Relativity movie. It looks like a Relativity movie. It walks like a Relativity movie. It must be a Relativity movie. It's got Kristen Stewart in it. So... You know, Men in Black 3 made $54.5 million last weekend. That means it's probably going to drop to around 28-ish. Do I think Snow White and the Huntsman can make more than $28 million this weekend? Yes, I do. I'll put Snow White and the Huntsman number 1, Men in Black number the third at number 2. I'll put the Avengers at number 3. That leaves me with my 4 and 5 picks left, and I... Battleship is falling faster than The Dictator, but it's about 2 million ahead. It's in 700 more theaters, so I'm going to be unoriginal and just keep them in order. I'll put Battleship at number 4, put The Dictator at number 5. So, essentially, I'm putting Snow White and the Huntsman at number 1 and shifting everything down a spot.
Hey, welcome to the summer season. For anybody who wasn't with us last time, in what is, I guess, now officially dubbed season 1, in the summer season, whatever new movie comes out is going to be number 1. Everything else just shifts down.
Usually.
Yeah, that is mostly true. It's not always true, but it is quite often true. So,
Tony,
I get to go?
Yeah, Tony, what do you got?
I am going to be contrary to you.
Okay.
But only slightly.
Mm.
I am going to say that Snow White and the Huntsman will probably come in number 1 as well. Men in Black will fall to number 2. The Avengers will fall to number 3. I think the only question there is if Snow White and the Huntsman will get number 1. I don't think it's much of a question. but I think that's the only marginal question there. As far as Battleship and the Dictator go, I'm actually going to do what is inappropriate and what I shouldn't do, and pick with my heart. And I'm going to say the Dictator at number 4 and Battleship at number 5, because I want that thing to fall off this scoreboard as quickly as possible. I want it gone. Just go.
Just go away. Leave me alone.
All right.
That means it's my turn, isn't it?
Yeah.
It does.
It is yours.
Jonathan?
All right. I don't have as much faith in Snow White as you guys do.
Oh.
Which is kind of funny because I was the one defending Kristen Stewart, but whatever. We'll call it ironic defense.
So are you going to ditto William?
No, I don't think I'm going to ditto William either.
Because William has given his picks in the chat room.
William has given his picks in the chat room. I am going to put Men in Black at number 1. I'm just not seeing the legs on Snow White. Probably wrong, but, you know, whatever. So Snow White and the Huntsman at number 2. Avengers at number 3. And then I'm going to follow Tony's heart and also say that I'd rather have Battleship at number 5, even though it probably won't. But it's worth a shot, so I'm going to throw that out there. So I think I'm going to go with Men in Black, Snow White, Avengers, Dictator, Battleship.
Interesting.
I'm hoping for like a 60-65% drop on Battleship now that there are 3 action movies ahead of it.
Lena is getting her vote in that she needs to ditto Tony. Again and again and again. Giggity, giggity, goo.
Hey now.
Oh, and, I'm sorry. There's William, no subtext.
William's picks have not been officially read. Those are Men in Black 3 at number 1, Snow White at number 2, The Avengers in 3rd, number 4, Battleship, and E, The Dictator.
Scott has announced Men in Black, Snow White, Avengers, Dictator, Battleship. He is dittoing me. That means I'm screwed.
No. Sorry, you're Scott. You're both screwed. Yeah, that's a rookie mistake, Scott.
Dittoing Jonathan is like tying yourself to him and making sure that each of you is wearing one lead shoe.
I only fly when by myself, apparently.
Your but hands...
It's a new season. Maybe it'll change.
Flapping of your hands is aerodynamic enough to carry yourself, but not when somebody holds on. It just doesn't happen.
True. Speaking of things changing in new seasons, I don't know, have you guys finished Community Season 3?
Yes. Yes, I have. And
Andrew?
I have not started Community Season 1, so feel free to speak freely. Goodness.
You Community actually really should watch Community. Yeah.
It's on my list.
Good. It is worthy of your list, and you should take some time to enjoy it. The third to last or second to last episode, depending on how you count it, the 8-bit Community episode was amazing.
Yeah, it was really good. Didn't work very well in the timeline, but
no,
as a standalone show, it was fine.
Right.
It was fantastic.
Right. And then the season finale of season 3, I liked how that basically could have been the series finale.
Yeah. You really got the sense that they were like, we're not going to get another season, and so we're just going to end it now.
It was a nice ending for the Dan Harmon era.
Yeah, Community. Considering Dan Harmon won't be on there anymore, it's fantastic. It's actually...
The creator and showrunner. For those who don't know who Dan Harmon is.
I just thought it was worth mentioning. I saw that. And now, I'll grant that I had a considerable amount of tequila, but when the ending ran, I was rolling on the floor.
Oh, yeah. It was solid. And for anybody who is listening and who is on the fence about whether or not they should watch Community, I'm going to spoil one thing for you. And if it was spoiled to me after I watched the episode and I didn't catch the reference, but if you watch it from the beginning and pay attention to the show, throughout the first two seasons, they mention the word Beetlejuice twice. In the Halloween episode in season three, somebody mentions Beetlejuice, and someone in the background dressed as Beetlejuice walks past the screen. That is how deep and geeky and awesome this show is.
That is awesome.
The show is actually incredible in the little details. There is an episode, the bottle episode.
Yes.
I just found out about this today. The bottle episode, you actually see the theft occur on camera.
Really?
You have to be looking really damn close, but you see it occur on camera.
Wow.
It happens. I was like, that is incredible. That is fantastic.
The show is incredibly deep and detailed and fun. I mean, it just it doesn't take itself seriously at all, but it takes every character in it very seriously. It's pretty fantastic. And there's some fun and cool crossover stuff with the show Cougar Town that they've done as well. Like the showrunners of each show have like put Easter eggs for each other's shows within their shows. I watched Cougar Town, and during every episode of Cougar Town, the title card changes with every episode. And I just mainlined like the last six or seven episodes over the weekend. And one of the title cards is, I didn't even know this show came back. And it was a quote on the title card, and it was quote, and the quote was attributed to Abed, which is a character from Community, who is all about television. So it's definitely worth watching. I am curious to see how it's going to change next season.
Yeah, with the new with
disappointment, but
well, you know what, the guys who are the showrunners and writers for Happy Endings are taking over. And I really like Happy Endings. It's not going to be the same. I think it's going to have a different feel, but I do like Happy Endings. So I'm not giving up on the show before I see it, but I'm expecting it to be quite different.
And that would make sense when you change, you know, the main creative direction or the main creative force switches. It's not unnatural that you're going to get changes. Hopefully, though, they will be different but good.
Yeah, the idea that I've heard is that they're trying to go for a more broad appeal, a more mainstream appeal out of it, which
so not us.
Yeah, so all of those
Big Bang Theory, I guess.
Yeah,
it is really successful, despite the fact that we don't like it. It's doing quite well.
I watched.
Massive.
This season of it has really started to tank hard.
Big Bang Theory?
Big Bang, yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it in the beginning, but not so much lately.
I've gone back. Like, I enjoyed the first season. I started to watch the second season and just kind of fell out of it. So I started watching the second season again and was like, I don't know why I liked this.
Yeah, they've started to rely
on a lot more flat on me and
yeah, they've started to rely a whole lot more on laugh tracks and things like that. It's like, man, it's not as good. And then they start with the thing where all of a sudden, if you're a casual watcher, you don't realize, but like somebody who's watched it all and who comes from that geekier, more critical eye, they start doing things with characters. It's like, that character would never do that. The character that you've established over the last however many seasons would not do what you just had them do to set up this episode-long laugh. It's like this episode should just go away because it doesn't fit with everything you've established up to this point.
I think we can probably stick a pin in this one and call it good.
Yep. Well, I'm just going to say from myself, and I'm going to go ahead and speak for Jonathan now, too.
It's probably a good idea.
And from all the listeners, Andrew, thank you for everything you've done for Backseat Producers, the website, for the podcast, the help in editing episodes, and rearranging schedules to record, and just making the show a lot of fun to, you know, one of the many reasons that make it worth recording every week. We want to thank you, and you know, you've always got a place here in the back seat, man.
I appreciate that, Tony. It's been a great time.
Excellent. Did we lose Jonathan? Did he finally pass out?
I think he's crying quietly. He doesn't want to talk, and he's kind of choked up. Verklempt, I think was the word.
I didn't have to say anything because Tony talked for me. So.
It's true.
I did. I took it over. That's what I do.
All right. Well, until next week, it's always better in the back seat.
See ya.
And if you can't be good, be safe!
One last time.